The 21st chapter of the book of Revelation, I'd like to read one verse as we've gone through this view that God has of His church and this time that John got to see himself and all his brothers and sisters as God sees them. Now we hear about it. I had the privilege of talking to Marvin Stoniker today, and the more I visit with him in person when I was there and over the phone, the more I'm anticipating having him here. And I've heard him a number of times on tape, heard him in person, and it's just, he just is easy to visit with. And I mentioned to him that Jennifer and Britt had lost a baby. And I said, Jennifer, like the rest of us, have some view of the sovereignty of God. We don't have a complete view. We will not have a complete view until we're in His presence. All of His characteristics and all of His attributes are somewhat blinded to us. And so it is in this passage of Scripture, as in any passage, we'll never be able to see the full extent of it in this life. We anticipate, we read, we think about, but it will be so much brighter and more glorious when we see Him face to face and not through a glass darkly. And as we look at this view of the church, I appreciate and delight in what God left us through His servant John. And I believe I have a greater appreciation for this view of the church than I've ever had before. And I see more about the position of the church in Christ than I've ever seen before. And yet, there's so much that we can't see and we won't see in this life. Even though we go through it again, we get much more. So this is there is no, and I saw no temple therein. Verse 22. Revelation chapter 21, verse 22. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Now there's no need of a physical place of worship. Now, it's convenient for us today. I appreciate when it's cold to have a convenient place to worship. And I appreciate when it's hot to have a convenient place to worship. And not all those who have called on Christ have had the convenience that we have. But they met together and they worshiped God. And this picture that we have here of a temple takes us right back to the Old Testament, and particularly to two temples, one that Solomon built and one that was built years later after the destruction of Solomon's temple. There is no need of a physical place of worship in this place, in the church. And we find saints of old have told us about that. Stephen was stoned over much of this same thought, that He dwells not in temples made with hands, that it is a spiritual worship. And He shared with the woman at the well that the time is coming and now is that they that worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, that's all been through the Old Testament. Anybody that actually worshiped God worshiped Him in spirit and not with their hands. They worshiped Him in the blood and righteousness of Christ and not with their works. All the way through, and it continues on that way, and in the final fulfillment of all things, the church will be able to worship God completely in spirit and in truth with no hindrance whatsoever. We're hindered with the thoughts that go through our mind. We're hindered with our aches and pains. We're hindered, and that's just the way it is. But thank God that He has given us a glimpse and a view. A building had been used to intimate the divine presence of God. And that's what God told Israel. This is where I'll meet you. Well, that's a beautiful thought when we get over here to say, I'll meet you in Christ. I'll not meet you in a building. I'll meet you in Christ. That's why it's so valuable. Where two or three are gathered together in My name, there am I in the midst of you. So it's not the place, it's not the temple of Solomon, and it's not the temple that followed Solomon that was around at the time of the Lord Jesus. That's not the place where God worships or God meets us. It is a spiritual meeting that he meets with us, and it is our prayer that when we are assembled together, that he might meet with us, not because of the building, but because of the hearts of the people that he has drawn out of this world and caused them to see Christ, that he would meet us and visit with us and instruct us through his Spirit and through his Word, and we'd go home better for it than worse for it. All right? The Solomon's temple was a grand picture of the Lord. And I don't know if there was ever a study that I enjoyed as much as I did that. When we went through the building of that temple, it was just glorious of how the Lord dictated how he would be remembered in the building and in the completion of that temple. And yet it was a solitary place that symbolized God meeting with his people and spoke of it, but nowhere does God meet with his people like he does in this city, Jerusalem, New Jerusalem. He truly meets with his people there. It's a spiritual meeting. It's not physical. We're not going to a physical place to worship a physical person. We're going to a spiritual place. We've been drawn to a spiritual place to worship the Lord. It was built on Mount Moriah, somewhat 1,000 years before Christ. And that temple was begun in 9 years in building that temple. And it was totally destroyed in the 11th year of King Zedekiah. Wiped off the face of the earth. And most of the instruments and most of the furniture was carried off to Babylon. And it shares with us in the latter part of, it's either Second Chronicles. It shares with us there that the brass was without weight and the fine metals were without weight. They were carried off to Babylon. That brazen sea was carried off. Those great pillars of brass that stood out in front of it were carried off. And it was without weight. They just couldn't measure it. It was so much. But it was taken off and it was never brought back. It was never reintroduced. In fact, they did not have the Ark of the Covenant in the days of the Lord Jesus. That was taken off and destroyed. They did not have the fire on the altar that did not go out. It was gone. They did not have the Shekinah glory. When this temple was dedicated, it was not dedicated like the old temple was dedicated. The Lord had taken his glory away. It did not have the spirit of prophecy. There are five things that this temple, the second temple, did not have that the first temple had, that the Jews depended upon. In fact, they did worship. They worshiped those things. The Urim and the Thummim. Brother Rupert brought a message on that and some of the things about the temple that were taken out. And these things were taken out. The Urim and the Thummim. Everybody's at a loss exactly what that was. But there was something about it that people could get the will of God out of this. And now, we don't need to go to an object to know the will of God. We are drawn to Christ. And he reveals his will to us. And sometimes, he just simply blocks the path, as he did with Paul. And sometimes he opens the door, like he did with Paul again. And we're just, when I was saved, when the Lord took me on a religion, it just saved me a lot of time scrambling on what's God's will. I don't have to lay out, I used to lay out fleeces like we read about that guy did, you know. If you do this, God, I know that I should do this. And I don't have to do that anymore. The Lord just opens doors and closes doors. And we don't have this constant battle of what the Lord's will is. Christ is the will of God. And he has brought us to a peace with God that we never knew in a religious world. And this is where we are settled. And life moves on and he takes us along. The 21st is coming up. And Brother Marvin asked Brother Henry Mahan one time. Now, if you knew the Lord was coming back this week, if you knew, if it was just given to you and this is what was going to happen, the Lord's coming back, what would you do? Would you do anything different? He says, oh my, yes I would. I'd have all the eggs I want to eat. I'd eat lots of waffles. He just went down this. You know, there was nothing spiritual changed, but his doctor says, you can't eat eggs and you can't eat this and you can't eat that and you can't eat that. He says, if I knew the Lord's coming back, I'd indulge in that good food that I used to eat. But the spiritual things, no. If we have to change what we're doing spiritually, if we knew the Lord was coming back, then we have an issue with God. That shouldn't be a change. We should be doing what we would be doing if we knew He was coming back, or if He's going to wait 1,000 years. That first temple was destroyed, but in the first year of Cyrus, the Jews were permitted to return and to build it. And the building of that temple, it says, had more glory than the previous one, even though it lacked those five things and didn't have all of the beautiful structure around it. The reason, would you turn with me to Haggai? Haggai chapter 2, and I should have put a page number here. In Haggai, it mentions that the glory of the second temple. Now, the Jews that had seen the first temple, the old fathers, those that were way up in years, that had, they were just young when they were carried off or left in the land, when it was built, they wept. Because the glory of this house had nothing compared to the glory of the old house. They wept. But Haggai says in chapter 2 and verse 9, the glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former. Now that's just contrary to what the old men saw there. They were young people when that temple, they saw it the last time or when it was destroyed before their eyes. And now it's rebuilt and there's been 70 years, so If they were 20, now they're 90. If they were 10, now they're 80. There's been 70 years in between there. And these old men looked back and saw, they wept at how unfinished this looked compared to the old building. And yet Haggai says, Haggai chapter 2 and verse 9, it says, the glory of this latter house should be greater than the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, what made this second temple greater? And particularly for us, Jesus Christ, who is the one who lets us know of His will. He is our Ark of the Covenant. He is the fire that consumed the sacrifice. He is the representation of the presence of God. And He is the prophecy that was made here. When He went into that second temple, He made this second temple much more glorious than the previous temple, because Jesus Christ in His incarnate glory had never stepped into that place. Now, He'd been in there in spirit, but He had never been in there in the physical sense like this second temple. And this second temple and that passage of Scripture just really reflects on what it is for Christ to be in the church. The glory of this temple far surpasses the glory that could even be imagined in the pictures and types and shadows of that first temple or the second temple that were built to represent the presence of God. The second temple was missing things, but this temple that we read about over here, where there's no need of a physical temple, for He, the Almighty, and the Lamb are the temple of it, He has all of the spiritual blessings that the first and second temple represented. He is the spirit of prophecy. No wonder we run into that verse in the book of Revelation. Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. And He is the revelation. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ. If we want to know His will, it's in Christ. If we want to have the sacrifice, it's in Christ. And it stops all building, because He is the building and He is the temple. And we don't go to a physical place to worship. We go to Christ. Now, we might assemble together in a physical place, but we'll never worship God because of a building. We'll worship God because of a changed heart. When our Savior entered the temple in His day, He brought all those things that had been missing, and He has continued to bring them as the temple of God to the church of God, and it is there where we truly enjoy all of those things that were only a picture or a shadow in the Old Testament. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2 shares with us this wonderful blessing of the presence of God. There is no physical temple therein. In this city, the city of God, the church of the living God, we don't have a physical temple. We have Christ. We have God. He's the temple. He's the representation, but He is also the reality. He has all the spiritual blessings of God. And here in the book of Colossians chapter 2, Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9, the scriptures share this: For in Him dwelleth all the fullness. And I can't understand that. If we're ever going to have a thought about all, here's one of them. In Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Someday, I'm beginning to. It's better now than it was 10 years ago, and it's better now than it was 20 years ago. But I anticipate if we are able to be here another 10 years, and then when we see Him face to face and see the tremendous glory in this person, Christ Jesus. Because when we are in the presence of the Lord Jesus, we will see Him in His body. He is going to demonstrate His love for us by His pierced hands and pierced feet. He will in His body. We will appear before Him in His body. We are His body, but we'll see Him as He is. John chapter 2, back up to John chapter 2, if you would, verse 19. John chapter 2 and verse 19, as we think that there is no need for a physical temple here. The Jews worship the temple. Like it or not, they worshiped the temple. They worshiped it. They talked about how great it was. It was here where God meets the Jews. It's interesting when we go back over to the Old Testament how many Gentiles were used to help build it. They're the ones that fell all the timber. And they were the ones that were used to help straighten up all those rocks that went into the foundation. What a beautiful picture that God's going to bring in Jews and Gentiles. This is their house. This is not Jews' house. This is not a religious house. This is the house of God. The church is the house of God. And He's the temple of the church. He's the meeting place for all people. John chapter 2, verse 19, the scriptures say, And Jesus answered and said unto them, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it again, raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in the building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But He spake of the temple of His body. Now, it goes on to say in verse 22, When therefore He was risen from the dead, His disciples remembered that He had said this unto them, and they believed the Scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Now, you destroy this temple, in 3 days I'll raise it again. And He spoke of the temple of His body. This is where we meet God. We'll never meet God anywhere else but in Christ Jesus. There is only one door, and He's it. There's only one path, and He's it. There's only one water, and He's it. There's only one bread, and He's it. And we can only meet Him. And in meeting Him, we're meeting God at His temple. Now, God met at His temple, the Lord Jesus, throughout the Old Testament. But He typified it and pictured it by that temple that was built in the days of Solomon. And this temple that was built in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah, and this temple was destroyed. They didn't have the mercy seat. They didn't have the Shekinah glory. They didn't have the fire upon the altar. They didn't have the Urim and Thummim. And they didn't have the spirit of prophecy here, but in this one they do, and in this one we do, the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 2. Would you turn there with me? Ephesians chapter 2. There's no need of a physical place. No need of a physical place. We meet at Christ. He is the assembly place, and He is the meeting place with God. God only meets His people in Christ Jesus. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20. We read this. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. He is our meeting place. We meet with God in Christ Jesus. Stephen preached about Christ when he said, He was not found in a temple made with hands. That just went right against the grain of them. What do you mean He doesn't meet here at this temple? And they brought this up, at the trial of the Lord Jesus. He said He would destroy this temple in 3 days, raise it again. They didn't bring up about what it meant because they didn't understand what it meant. Turn with me to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7 and verse 47. All that the Old Testament temple was a picture of is found in Christ. He's the presence of God. He's the sacrifice. He's the glory of God. He's the prophecy of God. He's the food of God. Here in the book of Acts chapter 7, let's read this, just 3 or 4 verses here, about what Stephen said just prior to his martyrdom as he's preaching Christ through the historical events of the Old Testament. Stephen just marches along through the history of the Jews. I didn't realize until this afternoon. It didn't make the impact that before as it did this afternoon when I was reading, but that first son of Abraham, Ishmael, was also circumcised. Abraham circumcised him. He had the outward show, but he didn't have the inward temple. And he fought against the spiritual. He fought against the heavenly. That's what brings out in the book of Galatians. All right, Acts chapter 7, and that, we're seeing that right here. Here's a bunch of religious people listening to their own history by one of their own people, and they said, we're pretty upset with you. Acts chapter 7, verse 47. But Solomon built him a house. Howbeit, the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands. As saith the prophet, I'm going to bring you, he's preaching and he's got a text verse. Old Testament, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. What house will you build for me, saith the Lord, or what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hand made all these things? And then he said, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do you. And then they took him out and killed him. But he brought this to their attention. He does not dwell in temples made with hands. This is not his residence. His residence is in the people, his people that he's called by his name and brought them out of darkness. In Acts chapter 17, it is again mentioned, Acts 17 verse 24, that this temple is not a physical temple in the church of the living God, because it's a spiritual body anyway. This is not the temple of God. The temple of God is the Lamb. Acts 17, verse 24, it says here, God that made the world and all things therein. Now, he's describing the unknown God. We back up just a little bit. He's at Athens. And he's perceived the multiplicity of gods, and he's declaring unto them the unknown God. God that made the world and all things therein, seeth he is the Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. And they had a temple. The Elks have a temple. There's all kinds of temples. The Masons have a temple. What do they expect there? They expect God to meet him there. Religions have temples. Christians have Christ. He meets them at himself. He invites us to come boldly into his presence. It's not a building. And it is difficult for us in our finite mind to understand infinite, but he has given us a piece of the picture. I am the temple and I'm spiritual. You must worship me in spirit and in truth, and that's an impossibility unless we have the indwelling of the Spirit that enables us to do that. He goes on, neither is worshipped in men's hands as though he needed anything. Verse 25, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, we all are also his offspring. So he dwelleth not in temples made with hands, but God dwells in his Son, the Lord Jesus, and that's where we meet him. And then a couple other verses. One's found over 1 Kings again, and this is the words of trying to put God in a box. You can't do it. David understood that, and Solomon did too. Here is a house. But we are far more understanding than to think this is where you dwell. We're just not going to do that. All right, 1 Kings. I hope it's 1 Kings chapter 8. It might be 2 Kings chapter 8. I've been known to do that. First Kings chapter 8 and verse 27. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and the heaven of the heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house I have builded. He understood that. This is just a picture. This is a shadow of where God meets his people. My goodness, this is not where he meets his people. It's a picture of where he meets his people. There must be blood sacrifice. There must be the will of God. There must be the fire on the altar. There must be the Urim and Thummim. There must be these things. But they are all found in this one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why it is so valuable to know there is none other name under heaven. What is it? There's no other place God meets his people than in Christ. And then in 2 Chronicles chapter 2. There is no temple there. There's no temple there now. He doesn't recognize it. There's no physical, hands-built temple. In fact, that's a disgrace to God. It's dishonorable to God to say God meets his people in that building. He meets his people in their heart. He meets his people in himself. All right, 2 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 5 and 6. And the house which I build is great, for great is our God above all gods. But who is able to build him a house, seeing the heaven and the heaven of the heavens cannot contain him? Who am I then that I should build a house, save only to burn sacrifice before him? Send me now, therefore, a man cunning to do the work in gold and so forth, as we see this temple about to be built. But Solomon shares with us through the Spirit, there is no way that God can nor will meet with his people except in type and in shadow at this place we're about to build. Because he does not dwell in temples made with hands. Well, that talks a lot. We're the temple of God, but he doesn't reside in temples made with hands. He does not reside in temples made with works. He resides in temples made by God. He's the builder, the master builder. And finally, in John 4, we mentioned this, but I want to read it. John 4, true worship is not toward an object, but toward the Lord God Almighty. John chapter 4 and verse 23, Jesus shared these words with the woman at the well, and they ring in our ear. True worship. John chapter 4, verse 23. But the hour cometh, and now is. Now, I firmly believe that God could have shared this same verse, and probably did in some manner, with Adam and with Abel. You're not going to worship God at a place. You're not going to worship Him with sticks. You're not going to worship Him with a lamb. You're not going to worship Him with a... You're not going to worship Him that way. The hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Or, if we leave that Him out, as it's been added for clarity, they that worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. It takes the Spirit of God and the Word of God to worship the living God. And we're broken in the flesh. We can't worship God with the flesh. The flesh profiteth nothing. If I could learn that lesson. The flesh profiteth nothing. So this worship has to come from our spirit, from our soul. And that's brought about by the work of the Holy Spirit, the massaging of the Holy Spirit, the cry out of the Holy Spirit. This temple, the Lord Jesus, fulfills all that the temple was a picture of. He is the presence of God. He is the sacrifice accepted by God. He is the glory of God. He is the prophet and prophecy of God. Everything that that temple was a picture of, He is the reality of. And so as John was led to write and share with us, can you imagine? I looked around. I'm used to having a place. I looked around. Doesn't say that, but I can just see John looking around in this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful passage of Scripture about the church. I saw no temple therein. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of that. Revelation struck him. I looked, but it wasn't there. But the revelation of Jesus Christ struck me. The Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. That's where we meet God.